Everyone. So Ruth, the book of Ruth is the eighth book of the Bible in the Old Testament. So if you go past Joshua and Judges, then you get to the book of Ruth. And it's chapter one. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Ruth's loyalty to Naomi. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Naomi and Ruth return. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest.
Thank you very much, Ruth. Well, we're going to have a look at the first chapter of the book of Ruth. It can be summarized, the first chapter, that is, in various ways. A family makes a bad decision and exchanges one famine for three funerals. Two, it could be seen as the devotion of one lady Ruth, to her mother-in-law and her mother-in-law's God. Where you go, I'll go. That's very strong. Or it could be Naomi's response when she got back to Bethlehem, verse 21, where it says, I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. A summary of a very sad situation. Well, I don't want to focus on Ruth today, although there's a splendid devotion expressed in her words, but on a minor character called Naomi. Now, one author has called her the prodigal daughter, likening her to the prodigal son, who went away to a far country and then returned to the father's house. Whilst the stories may be similar, there is very definitely a difference, a vital difference. She was faced with disaster not of her own making, as it was a famine. The situation would have caused friction and sadness to see their farm dying because of the lack of water. And they were not the only ones affected. And their neighbours would have been similarly and tragically touched by the same circumstances. And so it is today, isn't it? When you and I go around the streets, we meet people who are afraid of what might happen to them due to the coronavirus. You've got people who are anxious for a whole variety of reasons. It may be that their job may not be there after furlough. And they're unsure about meeting other people. And so we have all these things. Well, in Naomi's case, it was a famine. And it was in the land. And it seems sad because Bethlehem means house of bread. Famines happened then because the people of God were disobedient and would not repent. That's why they happened then. We're told in Deuteronomy 28 and verses 23 and 24 that God would give them famines when they didn't turn to him after sinning. And it was probably Imelech's decision to go to Moab, but she goes along with it and supports her husband. She, her husband Elimelech, and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, moved from Bethlehem to Moab. Although they were forbidden by God's word, the sons get married to Moabite women. But that seems a natural outcome. Sadly, the dad and sons die. Particularly tragic in those days, as they were the breadwinners. And Naomi hears that the famine has ended in Bethlehem. This is after quite a few years. And she decides to turn home, to return home. She discourages her daughters-in-laws from coming by saying she's not able to provide husbands for them. Orpah, we're told, returns home, but Ruth cannot be persuaded to go home, her own home. But she expresses a spiritual determination to stay with Naomi. And she utters those words in verse 16 and 17, where she says, "For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. People shall be my people, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." Now, the question I'd like to pose to you this afternoon is this: where did Ruth learn these things about God? Where did she learn these things about the Lord? Now, it could be that God had revealed those to her, that truths to her, and many other truths as well, by his Spirit. Because in other parts of the Bible, we have examples of it. We have example of Simon Peter when he's addressed by the Lord Jesus Christ and says, the Lord Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" He comes back And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus commends him because flesh and blood has not revealed it to him, but the Father in heaven. And there are other instances where that occurs in God's word. But a more plausible reason to me is probably that you learned the truths about God in the home as she lived and labored alongside Naomi. She would have learned it that way. So 3 points. First point is her life. This is Naomi's life. They would have spent much time together, and the God of Israel would have figured in everyday living and conversation. That's great to see, isn't it? The one God, the God who brought the people out of Egypt, delivered them from Pharaoh's army, led them through the desert, brought them into the promised land. Can you imagine the richness of the descriptions and the stories that were told and retold? Because they would have been time and again. The focus of Naomi's adoration and actions as she lived out her faith. Her life spoke, and that's important. Now, what about today for you and for me there? Are you someone who has been in a family or have a friendship with someone, has a faith in God and believes that Jesus is their personal saviour? Have you seen the reality of a changed life, yet you are still unconvinced and have not committed yourself? You can see the way they give God the priority in their lives, the joy and peace that is evident in those lives, in everyday living, and yet you hold back, and hesitate to be sad about your wrongdoing and sin. But come, I would urge you to come and believe in Christ alone as your Saviour. You need to start your Christian life and experience for yourself the person and the presence of the Lord. Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, said, "Repent and believe the gospel." Those are his encouragements to people today. A woman's faith is strengthened and refreshed on a daily basis as she spends time with her Lord. Her love for Jesus grows and deepens as she is supported and sustained by her husband and her church. Never underestimate, excuse me, my screen's still funny. Never underestimate and the encouragement that comes from fellow Christians as you seek to walk with God daily. Warren Wiersbe states, "What good is it to add years to my life if I don't add life to my years?" So we have, firstly, a life. Secondly, we have the summary of what had happened to her in verses 20 and 21. Now, Naomi had been away for about 10 years, and they expressed surprise. "Is this Naomi?" when she returned. Now, although her name means pleasant, she renames herself Mara, which means bitterness. And she accuses the Almighty of dealing very bitterly towards her. She was a mum with empty hands, an empty home, and an empty heart. She found her experience shattering, even though she refers to God as the Almighty, El Shaddai. It's always difficult to trust God in those situations for many people. Was Naomi just empty or weary of body and bitter in soul? Our Daily Bread has a quote, and it quotes this about Jack Higgins, the author of such successful novels as The Eagle Has Landed. He was asked what he would like to have known as a boy. His answer, that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. And life can seem empty. But Naomi had some encouraging resources. Let me highlight a few. She had life, a precious gift from God. She had opportunity, surrounded by friends. She had Ruth, committed and devoted to her, and she would be a great blessing to her. And she had the Lord. Actually, in the book of Ruth, you'll find the Lord is mentioned about 25 times in those chapters. God still cared for her, even when she was bitter. And what about today? When you feel that everything has gone wrong, life is against you, suffering seems unsufferable, when life seems empty, when lockdown goes on and on, remember that you have life. To appreciate so many things, spiritual and physical. Opportunity to enjoy the family and the church family and share Jesus with folk. People who love and care for you. I've been impressed with the way in which neighbours have cared for us and for other people in this area. And as well as that, we have the Lord. What does he say? In many places, I am with you always. So we have a summary. First point, a light. Secondly, her summary. And thirdly, her joy. And I'd like to go to chapter 4 and verse 6. And verse 16. That's the right verse, shall we? Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Obed was to be the restorer of her life. When Naomi took the child, she laid him upon his lap, her lap, and she became young again, and she nursed him there. She had fresh energy, fresh life. Who would she have dreamed that such a thing could have happened 12 months earlier? The answer is no. What about you and me today? Because the Bible is for us today as well as for them over 3,000 years ago. When you're surrounded by children and grandchildren, you have a new lease of life. Well, at least for a short while. You're focusing on the future and not for the past. When you hold a baby, you're holding the future in your arms. You start investing in the younger generation. Now then, think about it. How will the Lord surprise you and me at the end of lockdown? I'm not just thinking about this temporary one, but when it all gets back to the new normal, whatever that's going to be. Will a friend or a family member be a Christian because of the words that you or I have shared with them? Or because they've observed a life that's lived? What joy, what delight, what pleasure awaits you after, and me, after this brief time of isolation? Remember, 1, Naomi's life, 2, Naomi's summary, and 3, Naomi's joy. And that's the end of the sermon. Let's just close in prayer, shall we? We do indeed praise and thank you for the love that's been shown to us even today. And during these times when we've been very much separated from one another and yet still very much in touch with you, we thank you, Lord, for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for that steadfast love that comes from your heart to us and loves us, the best for us in so many, many ways. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that this love might be known by more and more people. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the grace for one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.